What's going on, everyone? It's Saturday, October 6th. Super Showdown was today. It's Wrestling Off the Handles with Kevin Javier and Ronald Prevost. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. So let's talk about Super Showdown.
All right.
WWE's... Was it their first show in Australia ever? First time ever going there? Or
I don't know if it's the first time ever going there, but I think it was the first pay-per-view streaming. Yeah.
Okay. And do you know what arena was that? Was that at the Sydney Opera House by chance? Or
I have no idea. I think it was in Melbourne, Australia, though. So
okay.
It was a big deal.
Okay, so it was in Melbourne.
Yeah, we had two hometown wrestlers there.
Yeah, that's one to definitely talk about. It was the Iconics who won, which is great for them. You know, they had that whole kind of fucking tearful, you know, victory in the end. Oh, we won.
Yeah, and then also Buddy Murphy.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss's fiance. Lucky man.
Lucky. Yeah. And, you know, the first match was New Day versus The Bar.
Good match. Funny how they had to overpower Cesaro and Sheamus. Because, like, compared to the New Day is comprised of, Big E, of course, is fucking huge.
Yeah.
And Xavier and Kofi, they seem like they're not small dudes, but I think they're like, what, 5'10", 5'11"?
Yeah.
They're not super tall.
Yeah, it's not 5'8".
Maybe 6 foot.
Yeah, no. They're probably like 5'8", 5'9".
Under 6 foot.
Yeah. I would say so, yeah.
While Cesaro is tall and Sheamus is a specimen.
Yeah. That tall, pale Irishman.
You look stupid.
Is he Irish or Scottish?
I think he's Irish.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was thinking that the match wasn't really going to be that good because I just haven't seen their matches in a while mm-hmm. out of The Bar. But, you know, they pulled it off, man. It was a dope match. The coup de grace, the finish where Kingston jumps off they pull him in a bridge.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was dope.
He pulled him in a bridge and fucking like his chest was exposed and just center of his chest. He did that on Cesaro, right? Yeah. And then because Sheamus was already outside the ring, like fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that was the Becky Lynch match.
Yeah, Becky Lynch and Charlotte. That was a good one. The finish was a disappointment, but the match had some good spots.
Yeah. We thought at first, you know, the music was getting cut off because Becky Lynch was cutting off Charlotte's music because it's like,
we thought it was kind of that
Stone Cold, like, mm-hmm. I don't care about you, I'm the authority. Like,
mm-hmm. She was trying to build heat.
Yeah, but no, it ends up, it was just that...
Everyone's entrance got cut short because of The Undertaker.
Yes, the long walk down that ramp.
Yeah, can you imagine him in the locker room just like, I am a 55-year-old man. It is very hard for me to walk down one aisle in 10 minutes.
That was a
So all of your entrances will be cut short.
It was a super long walk down that ramp. He took forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but after Charlotte and Becky match, Becky ends up winning the match in... Well, she didn't end up winning the match. She kept her title by dastardly affair.
Yeah, she hit Charlotte in the head with the belt and
got disqualified,
so she kept the belt because she cannot... Title can't be transferred in a disqualification, which is a new rule to me.
Yeah.
Is that something they just started doing a couple years ago?
No, that's always been like that, man.
Mm.
Yeah. But end up, Charlotte gets pissed off. She goes up, tries to beat up Becky. And Becky just beats the bejesus out of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And,
said bejesus.
It's a good word.
All right, JR.
Yeah. Bejesus.
Yeah. My God, she knocked the bejesus out of her.
Yeah, you know, she's showing herself that she's a heel. She doesn't care. She only cares about her winning, keeping the title, and mm-hmm. her being, calling, you know, you gotta call her queen. Bitch.
Oh, yeah, she finally got to use the B word, which, yeah. I mean, I think that certain wrestlers get a, you know, pass with that. you know, like you're never gonna tell Stone Cold you can't say open up a can of whoop ass.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, he just doesn't flip people off anymore.
Or The Rock says, "Ah, stick it up your candy ass."
Yeah.
I don't know. He probably won't be able to say that. I don't know.
No, he could still say that. I mean, he said that New Day once had unicorn penises strapped to their heads.
Oh, yes. I think you get weird. I think you get more freedom on SmackDown than you get on Raw.
And it's certain wrestlers get more freedom too. Like if you're an old school guy and like, yeah, your whole gimmick was to like curse and do this and that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I don't think they'll be able to bring like the Godfather back. And if he does, he'll have to like come down by himself. Like the Ho train will not be joining him.
The Ho train would not be in this Me Too movement. No.
Dude, you know what would be so great? What if the Ho train enters the female Royal Rumble?
Oh,
yes, that would be amazing.
Oh, that would be so
And bad. It's just like five no-name wrestlers just known as the Ho train.
The views of this podcast do not support the views of Kevin Javier.
No, actually, these views totally support me. This is wrestling. It is fake. It is scripted. And there was a group of female characters known as the Ho Train, whose pimp was the Godfather. And I think that would be a great, like, surprise. Because in the Royal Rumble, they always had the surprise gimmicks where, like, it would be, like, 2008. And all of a sudden, the Honky Tonk Man is entering the Royal Rumble. Or, you know, because there's, like, last year, Rey Mysterio was the surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always do that. So, yeah, if it's a female Royal Rumble, I want to see the Ho train into the Royal Rumble. Luna's dead. China's dead. You might be able to have Sunny, but she, I think, has such a bad relationship with Vince.
She's not healthy enough to.
That too, yeah. Moolah's dead. Mae Young's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as classic female wrestlers, you have like the ones you have left are like Lita, Trish Stratus.
Well,
Ivory.
You got the
Molly Holly
Evolution, so that'll be that. When is the Royal Rumble? Is that coming up?
The Women's Royal Rumble? No, that was already.
Yeah, that was the Mae Young Classic, though. That's
well, no, the Mae Young Classic. I thought that was like a King of the Ring style.
Yeah,
but then they had an actual Royal Rumble at the Royal Rumble for females,
okay.
Asuka ended up winning.
Yeah, I got you. But you know. So ends up the next match after that was the Iconic versus Asuka and Naomi.
Yes, and Asuka and Naomi could work as a tag team.
They're very good at the tag team.
They have similar entrances.
Yeah.
Similar color schemes.
Yeah.
If you were to pair them together, you wouldn't have to change much about either of their gimmicks.
No, you can let them do their own thing. Mm-hmm. And athletically and like match wise, they just work. Connected there. They do some dope, moves. They work.
However, I see if they become a tag team, Asuka's not going to be the talker. So, what's the other girl's name?
Naomi.
Naomi's going to be the one with more of the mic skills because they need to expand or let Asuka talk. Like, have her drop that whole, you know, I'm an Asian person who doesn't speak English.
Yeah, I don't think she speaks the best, but I don't think she's.
I mean, she has an accent, but yeah, she has an accent, but her accent is not as heavy as, say, Shinsuke Nakamura, who has a very heavy accent.
Yeah, but it's hard to do that when you're SmackDown Live and try to correct all that stuff if it's like you can't get it right, you know? It takes a hard time, so they don't. It takes time, money, and, you know, they don't want to waste that.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to send her to a vocal coach or anything. But that was probably one of my favorite matches of the night because they had. Because Asuka and Naomi have good chemistry together, but they also had good chemistry with the Iconics. And, you know, of course, you know, congrats to the Iconics for, you know, their hometown win. Mm-hmm. You know, also to Buddy Davey, is that his name? Buddy Murphy, yes.
Yeah, but the Iconics winning in their hometown usually doesn't really happen because, you know, usually the WWE kind of screw with the crowd sometimes, but you know.
Oh yeah,
it was the first time pay per view in Australia. Say like, no, you gotta let the hometown, mm-hmm. you know, let me be the hero, you know, and because you know the Iconics are kind of a heel, but they came out kind of saying that, you know, thank you for we're finally back home and in our town.
They played the Bret Hart card where they were like trying to be heels or no faces in their hometown, but heels everywhere else.
Yeah. So it didn't really seem like the crowd were with them at first. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the match, they were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone was kind of on their side. But now Buddy Murphy, is he known as a heel or is he a face or
I don't really know.
Of his own?
I don't know. But Nikki and Bella Twins.
Bella Twins and Rousey against the Riot Squad.
Yeah.
That was an interesting match. I mean, thank God, no botches by Nikki Bella.
And now Brie.
No, Brie, I'm sorry.
Brie mode.
Sorry, Nikki. Brie. Yeah. Brie did not go Brie mode.
Randy
by that I mean she didn't injure anybody.
Randy was over here saying that when she goes Brie mode, do you worry about like everyone's safety?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I think we all do actually.
Oh no, we love you, Brie.
And there were a couple spots in there where they kind of made fun of the kick.
Yeah.
Where Liv Morgan like gave her a couple of like standing kicks and shit.
Yeah, I know. That's good. That's your life, you know. It was an accident, you know.
Yeah, and we're in this, the kind of age that WWE is in where, you know, like people have the internet and you can look up what they're doing backstage and who they're dating, where they live and that.
Kayfabe is, we're definitely in a time of kayfabe.
So they incorporate that into it.
Yeah.
Where if it's like, you know, articles are published, you know, oh, they fought backstage because of it. Then it's like, oh, guess what? In this next match, you're going to make fun of the fact that she kicked you in the face.
Put it in a good storyline.
Oh, yeah.
But
to make it more believable.
Yeah. The match ends up with Ronda doing a double armbar.
Yeah, that was way too gimmicky.
I mean, I thought it was cool. It made sense for her. But it's like, it's kind of, I like it is that she always gets like this, she gets either beat up, mm-hmm. and then out of nowhere, she gets this Hulkamania energy, you know, when Hulk like she hulks up and then nothing you can do can stop her.
Exactly, stop Hulk. She's doing the underdog treatment.
Yeah, but no, you know, she ends up winning the match with a double armbar, and it's gimmicky, but it makes her like look super powerful. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and complain that wrestling is not believable because that's just foolish. I realize what I'm watching. All right. But, yeah, that was a good, I just wasn't too happy with the finish. But the Shield versus Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre, that was a good one.
That was good. Wait, did you talk about the John Cena match?
Oh, John Cena's hairline, we forgot to get to that. Yeah. How could we have forgotten that? That fucking, you know, Clark Kent looking motherfucker.
Well, he ended up... You know what? John Cena looked like Mark Wahlberg and
JBL. Said from that sweet tweet you said.
Yes, from that sweet tweet. Yes,
that was cool. But I mean, like, and it was so like I think him and Undertaker need to have a match for their fucking hairlines. Like that's what needs to happen because both of them, Undertaker too, has got like. It's not quite a mullet. It's more like a skullet, you know, where it's like his forehead is like become like his hairline is like at the back of his head and shit.
Yeah, but it makes it cool because he makes him more scarier because he's the Undertaker. You just need hair.
I mean, yeah, but I don't want...
And he's scary.
But I don't want Undertaker to have like Hulk Hogan's hairstyle, you know what I mean? Like, cause you know when like Hulk Hogan like started losing his hair up top and he just like let the skullet go? And then when he would like get sweaty in a match, it was just like fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, come on, Hulk Hogan. But...
Yeah, but after that, I think... then it ends up being the Shield match was pretty dope.
Yeah, the Shield match was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And had a good finish to it too, cause... They even went in the crowd, and Braun Strowman had that fucking puddle of blood that I think Randy pointed out. We had to rewind, like, oh, he's bleeding.
Yeah, it was a dope finish. They even teased a little bit of Dean going heel, like or leaving the Shield.
Because that's what there's rumors been talking of, and it seems likely. Like he'll do the whole, you know, oh, I'm carrying this team. You guys suck. I'm out.
No, I don't think he'll stay with the team until it's time for him to go for his own title.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But I don't think he's gonna leave the Shield, because they even kind of put it at the end of the match, showing the Shield bond, you know, the triple mm-hmm. Fist bump, you know. So yeah. I don't think they're gonna.
But that one moment of the match where all three of us were like, "Whoa!" Because
he's gonna leave. He's, yeah,
it was Strowman, Ziggler, McIntyre all surrounding Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, mm-hmm. and then Dean Ambrose is on the outside of the ring. And he's just kind of looking around like, do I help? Do I stay outside? And they just kind of looked at him like, brother! And then he got in the ring and then, like, sided with the Shield.
Yeah. And ends up, you know, all the team gets thrown, all the Shield members get thrown out of the ring. Braun Strowman runs over Seth Rollins, then runs over Dean Ambrose. Then, he runs over Roman, then Seth, and then he's about to run over Dean, and then out of nowhere,
Roman
just spears the hell out of Braun Strowman, and you remember there's a puddle of blood, like you said, right?
Huh?
There's a puddle of blood after.
Yeah, because he speared him through the barrier.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Braun was on the floor just like, done.
And then Dean ends up getting a
pin on
Dolph Ziggler with the Dirty Deeds.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good match. You know. And then after that,
I believe after that was the main event, which was not very impressive, right? After that was the Undertaker match, right?
Yeah.
Because we did not see the Daniel Bryan versus The Miz match. We'll be watching that at some other point and give you our opinion on it, but I'm sure it was a good match because those two guys I actually like. I mean, Miz has been established himself as a pretty good heel.
Yeah, and then they're both athletic and both bring off great matches. And there's kind of like, even though the Miz is like at least 6'2", he's kind of like a smaller guy, so yeah, he's able to do some cool moves that Dean like. Daniel Bryan couldn't do with bigger guys,
mm-hmm.
so they could put a great matches. Yeah,
yeah. But the let's talk about this abomination of a final main event, and it's supposed to be the last time that Triple H and Undertaker are ever gonna fight. And I mean, it was cool that they went through the crowd, and you know there was a couple of cool spots in it, but Kane was just off to the side watching, not really involved in it at all.
Yeah, it's like Shawn Michaels kept getting involved. You know, Shawn Michaels gave you that annoying manager by the ring vibe.
Shawn Michaels was kind of like a mosquito bugging in his ear.
Yeah.
He'd like come up behind him when he wasn't looking and then,
After that first punch that Undertaker gave Shawn Michaels, I was like, all right, I'm never going to see Shawn Michaels, just going to learn his lesson, just walk away. And then he's like, no, keeps getting involved.
Yeah.
He's getting smacked down. And then I'm like, Kane's like never touching anything. Like, mm-hmm. yo, what are you doing?
Kane just got there to like put on his uniform and stand there.
You're supposed to have my back, but no.
He's like, look, guys, I'm a mayor now. I can't get involved in violence.
Yeah. How cool is that to be like in a city where like, hey, you know who my mayor is, right? It's Kane.
It's Tennessee, and he's a conservative. Kane was my favorite, but still, it's like I'm sure I wouldn't exactly agree with his politics.
Well, okay, I didn't know that, but I'm still a thing. It would be cool to be like, all right, like, that still would be cool if my mayor was Kane.
No, but you would be saying it like this. So my mayor, that Kane from WWE, here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yo, I would be like living there for like a day and be like, oh man, my mayor is Kane, but I could get the fuck out of here. Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, how would you, they're going to go, how would you like to meet the demon himself? They're going to raise their arms, you little fucking like, arms down, then a burning cross is going to appear behind you.
Yeah, man. But it was Not a great match. I didn't really enjoy it.
Gobbledygooker.
Didn't really. I did think it was kind of cool though. Triple H taking some bumps out into the ring and almost hit some lady in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah, like but that was the first. But that goes to show you the dedication of wrestlers. Okay, because they had a spot where I guess Undertaker he speared Triple H right through the barrier.
Yeah,
and they went into the crowd. And right next to where they did it, there was this woman.
Well, he didn't spear. He was running. Triple H was running towards him, and he just picked him up and threw him over.
Yeah, but there was a female fan in a wheelchair, and like Triple H like landed right next to her, and like they do a lot for like handicapped people, so like Triple H probably saw her in the crowd and told Undertaker like, "All right, yeah, that girl in the wheelchair right there. I'm gonna land right next to her.
What's so funny is the way she reacted. She really didn't react at all. All she did was just move her phone
like right over Triple H's face.
Yeah, she's like, yes, this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, her facial expression didn't change. She just like a robot, just like moved right over there.
Yeah, but you know what? I always think that's crazy how much people do that. Like when they're at a concert, they watch the concert through their phone. It's like,
yeah, I don't understand that shit. I was never.
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong taking a couple of seconds or two, but people really will watch the whole concert.
No, I know, and it's just terrible.
Yeah,
but I've never been that person because I was always in the pit at concerts.
I went to a pit once. It was weird. It was at the skate zone, downtown Lake Worth.
Who'd you see?
I don't know. It was like I was in high school. It was like a bunch of like
some local bands or something.
Yeah, and I mean, like I didn't even know what it was. I was like, first time I went there, and I was like, they started moshing, right? And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my god, white people are crazy. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, why are they fighting each other?
Yeah. Why are these white people fighting each other? I don't get it.
I should write that down.
So then you went in, and what happened?
I had a good time. Then I just started pushing white people.
Yeah, and then you were like, fuck it, is this what heavy metal concerts are about? I'm going to all of these motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm going to push so many white people on their asses.
Yeah, do this.
This is for Trump.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Hey, Ronald, what's your religion? I'm a Satanist because music helps me push white people. Without Satan, I could have never pushed this many white people.
Yeah, man, it was fun, man. They went through the crowd, a long walk down the crowd, too.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that was also why entrances were cut. Also to compensate for the long walks through the fucking crowd.
Exactly.
That they had.
You know what? I saw one ridiculous spot that made me laugh was those fury punches that Undertaker gave.
Oh, yeah. Triple H literally just sat there and went.
No, it
looked like a cartoon.
Yeah. That was cool. You know, Kane gets not distracted, but HBK sets up a table. Shawn Michaels tries to stop Undertaker from putting his body through Triple H on the table, and then ends up Kane gets on the table and gets knocked out of the match for a few minutes for some reason.
Like he was ever in the match to begin with.
Exactly.
And hey, Shawn Michaels, more like Bret Michaels, am I right?
This is weird to see him bald, man.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. But it is. He took a couple. Shawn Michaels took a way more.
Shawn Michaels was more in the. He was very much involved in the match.
Yeah.
Did more than a couple of sweet chin musics to. But I mean, of course, Triple H has to win that because he's, you know, the last remaining, like, full-timer.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. And, you know, I saw him do that there. He was going to mimic him doing the old school. I thought that was kind of cool. But I wish he kind of did it. I don't think he could.
Do what?
The old school move where he goes on the top rope. And
Yeah. Because he tried.
By the way, this... we talking about top rope. Braun Strowman on the top rope was scary as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He suplexed someone, right?
No, no. He was when he was about to jump off the top rope.
Yeah.
He jumped, and it looked like he landed on, like, feet first. And it's funny, crazy, because he has boots on, like, real construction boots on, like, not wrestling.
Like, yeah, he was wearing, like, Tim's.
Yeah, he could really fucked himself up, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was a cool... That was...
Just scary. Like Naomi, she had, like, light-up sneakers.
Yeah.
Which, that's gotta be hard to land on.
Yeah, but I think it might be fine, you know.
And just running the wrong way, rolling your ankle. That's, like, the best thing about the boots.
That's true. That would happen to Rusev for... That's why he was out for a week. Because, you know, he used to go barefoot back in the day. That's why he wears the boots now, because he twisted it, like, one, like...
Oh, his ankle?
Yeah, he was out for, like, 2 weeks, and then, like, then they said, like, nope, you gotta wear boots now.
That's a... Kevin Von Erich was also like that, too. He was known as the barefoot wonder.
Yeah.
He didn't really, like, make it that much out of all the Von Erichs.
No. Nah.
The only one that, like, I think made it to WWE was Kerry. He was the Texas Tornado.
Mm.
And he actually had one leg.
He had one leg?
Yeah, his leg got amputated. He was in a motorcycle accident and had to have his leg amputated from the knee down. So he had, like, a prosthetic that he would wrestle with. But not a whole lot of people knew that his leg was amputated. And some people said he would also, like, shower with his boot on. Like, to, like, keep the fucking secret going. Like, the only people that knew were, like, Piper and a few others.
How good did he wrestle?
He still knew. He could still, like, because he was still in good shape as far as, like, his body and everything. Mm-hmm. And he, like, learned how to just wrestle with a prosthetic.
Wow, that dude's a... That's a beast, man.
Yeah, you could probably find it on the network. It's Texas Tornado is what he went by in
definitely WWE.
Because by the time he made it to there, his leg was already amputated. But when he was in World Class Wrestling, which that's also on the network too, but that's World Class was owned by his father Fritz, who had all five of the Von Erich kids become wrestlers, and some of them, you know, had varying degrees of talent. Others didn't. The one that was supposed to, like, become a champion and everything, David Von Erich, he was the first one to die.
He died of a drug overdose, right?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty much confirmed that he died of a drug overdose, but they haven't, like, came out and said what. They've had a number of reasons, but according to what most wrestlers believe is that he died of a drug overdose, and his roommate when he was on the road was Bruiser Brody. And Brody found him and flushed everything down the toilet. Because Brody was a huge steroid user. So he flushed everything down the toilet so that no one else would get investigated.
Oh, man. That's crazy, man.
And it was also, you know, he died in Japan.
Drugs is crazy down there. You do not want to get caught with anything. You are
Japan in the 80s. That place.
Oh, fuck yeah. Even now, dude.
Here,
Japan and China. And even, like, marijuana. Like, no type of drug.
I don't know how it is in Japan, but I know that the one place it's like the other smaller Asian countries like Singapore and Philippines, yeah, like you could like get sentenced to death for having a joint.
Yeah, I know, man. You do not play with that.
Like, and there were some, I think it was an Australian, some Australian tourists that they were in like Singapore or something, and they were trying to bring some weed back from the airport, and they got caught and everything, and they tried to reach out to their family in Australia to get them out, but in Singapore they were just like, nah, these are our laws in this country, they got to abide by them.
Yeah,
and you got to hire their lawyers. And
I remember that one kid that in North Korea like stole a photo in a hotel and then ended up getting
in the work camp.
Yeah. It's like they
and,
told
and
you.
He got freed, but then as soon as he came back, he like died shortly after.
Did he really?
Because it was just malnutrition and like just he had all this shit messed up with his body.
You know what made me think that that's crazy is like who the fuck goes to North Korea? Like,
yeah.
Like, why would you want to go visit there? But like, it's like I feel bad that it happened to him. But like, they told you don't fuck around.
Well, there's like Henry Rollins is one to do that. I want to read some of his books, but he has a podcast as well where he'll travel to like really poor and like small countries or places where like, you know, you really shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. And he said the only two places that he had like issues in were Iran and I forget the other one, but he said Iran he had issues with because he couldn't tell them exactly what he did. He was just like, I edit books. But then he was staying with some Australians. And he said the Australians, I guess, knew who he was. I wanted to get like a picture with him, wanted to talk to him. And he's like, guys, like, or he told one of them, like, hey, go tell your friends that like to cool it because they can't really know who I am. Mm-hmm. I get it, but I can't be, they can't know me as Henry Rollins. And he just had to be like really careful and shit.
You know, talking about that is like that's why at started the next pay per view. That's
oh yeah, Saudi Arabia.
No women.
Well, because unfortunately, that's there. I mean, you know that in Saudi Arabia, I think only about 2 years ago, women were granted the right to drive.
Yeah, I know, I saw that. That's crazy, man.
Quote unquote, the right to drive.
Now, is it kind of like? Is it like? All right, is it on WWE, like, should be helping the movement by, like, not taking their money? Or is it they're helping the movement by taking their money and then investing into their women later on?
Oh, that would be the ultimate fuck you. Dude, no, that would cause us to go to war with Saudi Arabia.
Well, I was saying, because if you think about it...
Dude, they're going to suicide bomb the WWE headquarters in Connecticut.
I'm just saying, because it's like the WWE is not letting their women wrestle in there, even though they do that every night. But yeah. Not because of their laws or their
I don't think any culture. Women could even go on the trip, right?
I don't know about that, but maybe not set up because they have like a whole like modesty like kind of
thing. And I guarantee you everyone in the locker room when Vince comes in they're just like, all right, so I need some people to do an event in Saudi Arabia. Who wants to go? No.
So but they like they said like, all right, the prince they're like, nah, here's this bag of money. There's no women.
Yeah. Are you sure I got them all? Hispanics, Asians, black women, white women?
No.
No. I want men. Yeah. I want strong men to fight.
Strong, sweaty men in their underwear.
Yes. Yes, no clothes, full combat.
But women in their underwear, no.
We don't do that here.
Yeah, man. So it's like, that's gonna, but Brock Lesnar's gonna be in that match. I wish it's gonna be like, I think that's gonna be live stream. Hopefully it is. It's just gonna be weird without any women wrestling, man.
Not even no women wrestling, but like obviously Renee Young's not gonna be able to do commentary.
Yeah, I mean, I like Renee Young.
Oh no, she's good on commentary. I like her better than that. What's that one guy with the neck tattoos?
Corey Graves.
Yeah, I don't really care. Michael Cole's Michael Cole, but that's just because I mean, I grew up watching Michael Cole. You know.
He is part of my childhood.
Yeah, he's been there. He's one of the few people that's been there since the 90s and is still there. You know what I mean?
No, he's definitely seen the company change from...
He's a senior commentator at this point.
Yes, I would say so, yeah. He should be in a Hall of Fame.
Man. I remember him when he was like fucking 20 and had like highlights and shit.
Oh my god, he did.
And then The Rock would like steal it. Shut up, Michael Cole! Like, he was, like, the guy everybody shit on.
Yeah. He's been in that company for at least over 20-something years.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know, people give him a hard time.
Because he had that shitty wrestling run where he, like, got in the ring.
Oh, my God.
Then there was that thing with the King, which was just... It was kind of tasteless because then they brought, like, Brian Christopher out and did the whole, you know, you weren't there for me. Which is obviously sad because of what happened to Brian Christopher.
What are you talking about?
You don't remember that angle?
No.
Well, Michael Cole had this feud with Jerry the King Lawler.
I remember that part, yeah.
Yeah, and then he brought out his son.
Who, Jerry King Lawler's son?
Who was Grandmaster Sexay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Grandmaster Sexay was Lawler's son.
I didn't know that.
Brian Christopher. And he died like a couple months ago.
Oh, fuck,
killed himself.
Did he really?
Yeah, he had like, apparently he, because he had a, like a long history, like drugs, this, that, the other, and was in prison awaiting like a DUI and like jail time on like pills or something. Whoa. And he hung himself when he was in the joint.
Fuck. Sorry, dude. Damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, that took a dark turn.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, people want to say that wrestling's fake, man. It comes with a lot of comes with a lot of shit, man.
Price.
Your body goes through a lot of pain, and there's guys out there that they get addicted to painkillers because they're just walking around in crippling back pain or elbow pain or whatever the hell it may be. But your body takes a toll on you a lot more physically than, say, I mean, I don't know. You were a wrestler at one point. I mean, I know you only did a handful of matches, but would you say that wrestling is more harder physically on your body than, say, professional football or like someone who was in the NFL? Who do you think would have more stress on their body, NFL players or wrestlers? Or is it kind of a close call?
I would say close call. And then I wanted to just like to clarify. Like, I did like 2 matches.
So you don't even call yourself a wrestler?
Nope.
You...
I just went to some classes and I chased the midlife crisis.
Your midlife crisis was to be a wrestler?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it was. It was just a couple of times. It was fun. I wasn't that... But I don't know, because, you know, football, you got CTE, and we can get it either way. But the thing with the way the business was back in the day is that painkillers and booze and, you know, road and just combination of that just destroys your body mentally and physically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Kane didn't really do anything in this match. I thought it was kind of boring.
Yeah, the main event was very lackluster.
Yeah, it should have been before the Shield match. It should have ended with that.
I'd like to say that these are the first two pay-per-views that we've watched, and they both have kind of let us down. So I think, Ronald, we need to switch over to an independent event. Maybe the next All In or one of the Ring of Honor events, because they've got some big names and some interesting guys in the ring who are... You know, because it's like, I kind of feel like independent wrestling versus WWE, it's kind of like college sports versus like pro.
Yeah.
You know, like college basketball, where like the college guys are playing with more heart and kind of have more to prove.
You guys let us know on our Twitters or our Instagram what is the next event we should look at. Some Ring of Honor, yeah. Some Impact Wrestling. Let us
Lucha
know.
Underground. Lucha check some Underground. Of that out.
You know, we do WWE a lot, but just let us know what matches you want us to do. We're going to wrap it up here. You know, this is Wrestling Off the Handle. I'm your guy, Ronald Prevail, and I'm sitting with...
This is Kevin Javier, signing off, everybody.
Thank you guys for listening, and this is the pay-per-view, Super Showdown pay-per-view reactions. Nah, I edited that part out. That didn't make sense. Well, anyway.
Yeah. But,